You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 10th of August 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I expect people are looking at the website right now and thinking, that looks a little bit different. That's because I've imported a new theme to the website. We now have an about page which takes people to the disclaimer that explains what we're trying to do here at Radio Albion, and it also points out that if anybody finds anything that they think is questionable content, they should report it in the chat room. We've also got a contact link there that links to the chat room, and basically we've been able to put up a lot more sections now, and the sections are functioning properly. If you click view more, for instance, you will be taken to the correct tabs. So if you are wanting to look at Churchill's body count and you click view more, you will get taken to all the episodes of Churchill's body count. And we had a big problem with that with the last theme. I've still got a couple of little bits of work to do on it. I need to remove the responsive advert section, and I want to make the banner a little bit larger as well. But apart from that, it should all be functioning for people, and I hope people think it's an improvement. I think it is an improvement anyway. Now that's out of the way, let's get into the news. Yesterday was Indigenous Peoples Day, United Nations Indigenous Peoples Day, and Patriotic Alternative and were encouraging people to hold up White Lives Matter banners and take pictures. And it looks like this was a resounding success. Twitter is full of all these pictures of brave people, courageous people who love their nation, love their race, holding up these banners. It looks like it got a lot of attention. So once again, a very positive activity, successful activity that's been carried out by Patriotic Alternative without any trouble, as far as I could see. There may have been one instance with Antifa, I think, that attacked somebody, but generally, in all, that's probably only about 1% or less than 1% of the activities that went on yesterday. And it was all in aid of Indigenous Peoples Day. And of course, we are told in Britain that Britain doesn't have any Indigenous people. Well, that goes against the very definition of the word itself, doesn't it? I believe it's the politicians themselves that have said that we don't have any Indigenous people. So what we will do to disprove that is just simply look at the definition for what Indigenous means. Merriam-Webster tells us that it means produced, growing, living, or occurring natively or naturally in a particular region or environment. Dictionary.com tells us that it means produced, growing, living, or occurring natively or naturally in a particular region or environment. Now, obviously, white people have existed all over the world. We weren't just in Europe. Civilization first started off in the Fertile Crescent in Mesopotamia, and it spread from there to India, to Egypt. And in factual fact, it may have really started off in Asia Minor. And each one of these civilizations were originated by white people. There were always non-whites around. Most of the time, they were used as human resources. They were used as labor. And there are records of the white people back then being very proud of civilizing the natives, or civilizing the aborigines. Aborigines is probably a better word for them. Civilizing them and then making them into citizens and then interbreeding with them, and then the civilization fell. In Europe, we didn't have any of these non-whites when we got here. If we look back at the earliest records, we can see that there were a midget-type people, a pygmy-type people, and they just disappear from the record, basically. They were there before the modern Europeans were there. So how can we tell whether Europeans, the white man today, is native to Europe? How can we tell that the white man is native to Britain if, as I'm saying here, we originally started out in the Fertile Crescent? Well, you can tell if something occurs natively or naturally in a particular region or environment because you find evidence of that particular stock being there for centuries. You find the remains of the ancestors. And if we look in Britain, we see that our ancestors have been buried in Britain for thousands of years. There are parts of Britain that contain megalithic burial chambers, for instance, and we have found cremated remains there. We can tell from the cremated remains what they were. We find bones there. We find human skeletons there. We can see that the same people that are around in Britain today have been in Britain for thousands of years, simply by looking at these ancestral remains. That is how you tell whether a plant occurs naturally or an animal occurs naturally in an environment, because you find traces of it that go back into the past. That's how you can tell. So just from looking at this definition of what an indigenous person is, we can prove that the British people are indigenous to Britain. The British ethnicity are indigenous to Britain because we have traces of our ancestors here. And we can see that non-whites are not indigenous to Britain because there are no traces of their ancestors being here. People like the BBC will try and tell you today that there have been Africans in Britain. And what they're referring to is people from North Africa. And North Africa was one of these white civilizations. We had Carthage there. The sub-Saharan Negro, which is the black man, was from the sub-Sahara. He was from below the Sahara. He wasn't in North Africa. The Vandals went into North Africa and they conquered Rome. And we have records of the Vandal king coming to Britain. And in our records, it says the king of Africa came to Britain. And it's things like that that people like the BBC will jump onto and try and claim that that is evidence that that we have had black people in Britain. There are also things such as the Black Prince or so-and-so the Black. And what that will have been talking about is maybe the armor that he wore, or he had black hair. You just don't know, but it certainly didn't mean that they were of black ethnicity. Calling Negroes black is a relatively new thing. The name that we call these people seems to constantly be changing. And in a way, they're actually depriving these people of their identity just by claiming that we now have to call them all BIPOC. It doesn't give them an identity, does it? It says that Pakistanis are the same as Indians, are the same as Congolese, are the same as Chinese. And that's ridiculous. That is stealing their identity. That is just as bad as stealing the British people's identity and claiming that people that are British citizens are British. They're not British. They are British citizens. The British are a specific ethnicity made up of the English, the Scottish, the Northern Irish, and the Welsh. The Northern Irish used to be called the Ulstermen, and that is the British ethnicity. The fact that we now have British citizens that have an heritage from all over the world, an ethnic heritage from all over the place, doesn't make them into British people. It just makes them into British citizens. And this Indigenous Peoples Day that we had yesterday is specifically supposed to be for the people that occur natively or naturally in that particular region or environment. And that means it was meant for the British people in Britain. It was meant for Pakistanis in Pakistan. It was meant for Congolese in the Congo. To say that they are just the same as the British people is to steal our identity, basically. There was a very good debate last week that we had on the Radio Albion stream on Friday between Laura Towler and Ricky Doolan. And this Ricky Doolan appeared to have no understanding of what the word ethnicity means. And that is all you need to point out to these people that claim that black people are just as British as anyone else is just point out that they may be a British citizen, but they are not ethnically British. Their ethnicity is from somewhere else. Well, besides the good news of the Indigenous Peoples Day and the success of that, we have another news story which is getting a lot of traction, and that is the invasion by sea that has been going on, the invasion by inflatable dinghy, mainly arriving on the shores of Dorset. Nigel Farage has been doing a good job of exposing this over the last 3 months. While everyone has been locked up in their houses, thousands of fake refugees have been washing up on the beaches. Well, their boats have been washing up on the beaches. And I say thousands because it's been over 2,000. And that is just the ones that we know about. There has to be a lot more that have been breaking into the country that we don't know about. Now, Nigel has referred to it as an invasion by sea, and he's been criticised for that, for using the word invasion. So let's start by looking at what the definition of the word invasion is. And this definition comes from dictionary.com. And they actually have four different definitions of it. The first one, an act or instance of invading or entering as an enemy, especially by an army. And people could say that this is an invading army. Okay, it's not an organized army. They don't have generals. They don't have sergeants. They don't have a uniform. But they are essentially breaking into somebody else's country. And you can't just look at them as individuals, because you have to look at them as they are another ethnicity to us. They are another ethnicity to the indigenous people of Britain. And they are coming in such large numbers that the only close thing that we could liken it to is the Norman invasion of 1066, when you look at the actual numbers that are coming in. But perhaps to call them an army, when you think of an army, you think, well, an army is coming in and it's fighting its way in, and these people aren't fighting their way in. So you could say, well, that's not an accurate definition, really, to call them an army, because they're not making war on the people that they see when they land. They are begging, basically, when they see the people that they land. They're asking to be taken care of. The second definition, the entrance or advent of anything troublesome or harmful, such as disease. Now, a lot of them are bringing diseases in with them, whether that is AIDS, or whether it is coronavirus or tuberculosis or syphilis, or any of these other diseases that are much more rampant in the third world than they are here. Some of them are bringing them in. Some of them are troublesome. Some of them will go on a stabbing spree, as we saw recently in the hotel in Scotland, or with the Libyan refugee who went out stabbing white people in the Reading Park after the Black Lives Matter protest. So some of them are harmful. Troublesome, yes, some of them are troublesome. Not all of them, though. Not all of them. You have to give them credit here. Some of them aren't troublesome, but a lot of them are. Is the fact that some of them aren't troublesome or harmful, does that mean that this definition is a false definition? Well, even if just some of them are harmful, then you have to say, well, there is some harm that is caused by these people coming into the country. But it's still fairly weak, although it is an accurate term, but it's a bit of a weak one, because you could point out that there was an individual that actually wasn't harmful. He was quite helpful. Say he had a nurse's degree or whatever, and he helped somebody who had fallen over. You know, you can come up with all sorts of things like that. But that's when you're looking at them as individuals rather than looking at them as a group. The next two are far stronger as definitions, I think. The third one is entrance as if to take possession or overrun the annual invasion of the resort by tourists. That's the example that they give. And the country is being overrun by them. We are predicted to become a minority by 2060 with the fertility rates that they have now. Because once they come here, they stay here, they breed here. We are about 80% white, 20% non-white at the moment. Something like 45% of new births are non-white. So we are being overrun. And they are coming into the country as if to take possession. When they put these mosques up, that is a symbol of ownership. That is a symbol of we have arrived. We are here. We have taken possession of this area. And that is the way that they see them. And I would refer people to the Patriotic Weekly Review interview with Gavin Bobey to find out more about what the mosques symbolize to these people. Gavin Bobey is a lawyer who prevents these mosques from being built. The fourth definition is 100% definitely what is going on. The fourth one is infringement by intrusion. And these fake refugees are all breaking the law by breaking into the country. They are, and that is an intrusion. If you're breaking into somewhere, breaking the law to get in there, that is an intrusion, and they are infringing the law by doing so. So the fourth definition, infringement by intrusion, is exactly what is going on here. So an invasion by sea is exactly the correct term for Nigel Farage to be calling it. It cannot be seen as offensive to say that, because that is exactly what is going on. We have fake refugees intruding into the country and infringing British laws by doing so. Now, I've collected together some articles to do with this to make up some notes so we can get some details on it. Just 2.6% of the 5,795 boat migrants have been deported since January of 2019. Just 2% have been deported of these fake refugees that have come in since January, and there's been 5,000. That was January 2019. None at all of the 2,860 migrants who have reached Britain in the 4 months since May have been sent back so far. And when you see the talking heads talking about this and discussing this on the BBC, they say, oh, it's all because Europe isn't taking their fair share. That's why they're coming to Britain. No, it isn't. They are coming to Britain because they know that they are going to be housed, they're going to be educated, they're going to be medicated, they're going to be given a certain amount of money each week that they can then send back to Africa or wherever it is that they have come from. And they know that if they've already got relatives here in Britain, then they're going to be allowed to stay. They also know that even if their asylum claim gets refused, that they will still be able to stay for another few years and claim legal aid. And rather than doing this in a country like Bulgaria or Serbia or Greece that has a much lower exchange rate, they head for the north of Europe, which has the highest exchange rate and the highest welfare payments. Yes, some of them are looking to work. Again, when they do this work, they take those jobs away from the British people, who also need to work. We have limited resources, and if you have foreigners taking up those resources, then there aren't enough resources for the indigenous people. None of them have been sent back. And bear in mind, every single one of them is a fake refugee. There is no Syrian civil war in France. There is no war whatsoever in France. And you are supposed to claim asylum in the nearest country to where you have set out from. And none of them have done that. They've all made their way to France. They've thrown their documents away. They've got onto these boats and they're expecting the British people to pay for them. And what we should really be doing is sending them back to France. Their excuse is, well, we can't send them back to France because we don't know exactly who they are, because they've thrown their documents away. And if the French haven't arrested them, then we haven't got their fingerprints and we can't say for certain that they have gone back to France. Well, in which case you do what Australia did. You set up an area for them. Australia set them up an area in Papua New Guinea. You set them up an area, possibly on a Greek island, somewhere like that, which would help Greece out because you could pay rent for the island. You just put them all on there in a camp and say, well, you're safe there. You're away from the war. Until you tell us who you are, where you come from, so that we can send you back, you can stay here. And you're quite safe. We will still feed you, but you're not going to get a chance of working in the country that you wanted to go to. You're not going to get welfare in the country that you wanted to go to. If you want to do that, you have to do that legally. Max Musson, my co-host on Real Britannia, has put forward the suggestion that maybe they should be using these great big cruise liners, which are now out of business because of Corona. Maybe they should be hiring them out and putting them all on one of these big cruise liners in the middle of the channel. So when they find these boats coming across, they just take them to this cruise liner, put them on there. There you go. You're safe. You're away from the war, if you are indeed fleeing war. And this has worked in Australia. They no longer have an invasion of fake refugees coming into Australia. So that's the way that you deal with this. But Priti Patel is, of course, talking about how we just need to be working more with the French, and the French are demanding £30 million at the moment before they will do anything. I doubt very much whether they will actually start returning these fake refugees. There are an estimated 48,000 asylum seekers in the UK as of March this year, according to a report from the National Audit Office, and that is more than double the number recorded in 2012. So this is increasing all the time. The report projected that the cost of housing these migrants will reach some £4 billion between 2019 and 2029. Bear in mind, we've just crashed the economy with the coronavirus, and yet they are projecting that the British government, or the British people rather, should be paying out £4 billion to house these fake refugees. And instead of rejecting that, Serco and Mears have actually won contracts totalling £2.9 billion from the British government to provide accommodation and support for asylum seekers. So this money's actually already been paid out for these scam artists. Valued at £1.9 billion for Serco and £1 billion for Mears, the 10-year contracts were awarded by Britain's Home Office, Visas and Immigration Department under the Asylum Accommodation and Support Services contract. So it's already been paid for. So what chance is there that they're going to send these people back when they've just paid out £3 billion for their housing? They are currently being housed in 4-star hotels all around the country. A few weeks back, Nigel Farage released a video which showed a hotel in the West Midlands refusing to take bookings from British people because it was fully booked with 147 asylum seekers, presumably at the expense of the British taxpayer. And that will be the same in every one of these hotels that they are staying in, because they won't legally be allowed to have asylum seekers in the same building as fee-paying holidaymakers that wish to stay at the hotel. But the fact they are staying at 4-star hotels is just unbelievable. It's a lot of money to stay in a 4-star hotel. And I wouldn't imagine that any of these hotels could ever be used as a hotel again afterwards, if France's experience is anything to go by. An Ibis hotel in the French commune of Forbach that was used to house asylum seekers has now become so damaged that it can no longer be used as a hotel. Now, the Ibis Hotel Group are a very posh hotel group. I've never been able to afford to stay in an Ibis hotel, and yet it's this posh hotel group that have been used for putting up these fake refugees in France. The former Ibis Hotel was initially requisitioned by the French government to house asylum seekers and their families in 2017. Only in the last week has the government ended the requisition and made the asylum seekers leave. And the hotel is now so damaged it can no longer be used. Now, we've had people that have actually been filming this invasion. As I said, Nigel Farage has. There is also a YouTuber called Active Patriot who has also been filming this. And last week he was arrested for filming the arrival of the fake refugees in boats. At first, the police officer claimed he was arresting the man for trespassing, but then he suddenly changed the reason to breaching the peace. And he wasn't trespassing, he was in public property. And I can only guess that the police officer changed it to breaching the peace because he had seen that done to Tommy Robinson. When Tommy Robinson was arrested for filming outside a court, the police then said that it was for breaching the peace. I don't know what's happened to him now. I should imagine he's been freed. I wasn't able to get any more details on this before preparing the notes for today's podcast. And what they've actually been filming, or what Nigel has been filming, and also some of the BBC and ITV and on their morning shows, they've been filming what's been happening in the channel. And the filming that we've seen has shown French Navy vessels escorting these fake refugee boats into the British waters, where they are then handed over to British border authorities, who provide the illegal aliens a de facto taxi service and then free residency while they prepare their asylum claims. So the Navy, the French Navy, is literally escorting these advance guard invasion boats to the British Coast Guard and the British lifeboats, who are then ferrying them in to port and then picking them up in a coach and taking them off to a hotel. And this is what this Active Patriot, that's what he calls himself, was filming when he was arrested. The Ministry of Defence has confirmed that it has received a request from the Home Office to support UK Border Force operations in the Dover Straits. And the department said it was working hard to identify how we can most effectively assist, because the Navy are now going to get involved. But what are the Navy going to do? How are they going to set them? I bet they're not going to send these people back to France. I bet the Navy is just going to be involved in helping to pick these people up and ferry them ashore to Britain, just because there's too many of them for the UK Border Force to do this. UK Border Force should be defending us. I mean, if we're going to get the Ministry of Defence involved, it should be the Army and the Navy to defend the country. To defend the country from this invasion. This is quite clearly an invasion. Let's remind ourselves of what an invasion means. It means an infringement by intrusion. Exactly what we have going on here. Infringement of the law by intruding onto British property. The MP for Dover, Natalie Elphick, is demanding that they be sent back. And she seems pretty good from what I've seen of her. And this is a quote from her. For me, there has to be three parts to this. Firstly, making sure that the boats don't leave France in the first place. If they do leave French shores, that they are picked up early and returned immediately to France. And if people do break into our country and arrive on our shores, that they are turned back to France. Good to see that she is referring to this as breaking into our country, because that is what is going on. It's no different to people that are breaking into a house. Home Secretary Priti Patel has now appointed former National Crime Agency executive Dan Mahoney as the UK's clandestine channel threat commander. Fancy title there. And he's going to be the man who is going to be responsible for, quote, making the channel route unviable for small boat crossings. Well, how is he going to make it unviable? I am guessing they're going to make it unviable for small boat crossings by picking these boats up and ferrying them across so that they're not doing it on their own. But we'll have to wait and see. As I say, the French are demanding £30 million from the British government to patrol their beaches. But it's not the beaches that need patrolling. The actual reward that these fake refugees think they are going to get when they get to Britain, that has to be removed. Once they know that they have got no chance of staying on British soil if they try to break into the country this way, they will stop doing it. They will stop doing it. That's what you have to do. You have to remove the enticement that they have, the encouragement that they have to come here. Which, just looking at these figures that say that only 2% out of them have been actually sent back over the last 2 years, that's the reason why they're coming over here. Once you start sending them back to France or sending them back to some holding stage if they're not prepared to tell us where they have actually come from, then it will stop, and that is the only way that you are going to be able to stop this. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.